Consumers don't believe us anymore. There's a backlash against purpose-driven marketing. Let's untangle that today with my friend, Keith Jennings. It's time to get on with this show. Welcome, everyone. We've got a great, great show ahead of you today. We're going to be talking about purpose, a backlash on purpose, and some news about purpose in marketing. Actually, we'll be talking to my co-host Keith Jennings, who is actually the perfect person to be talking about this. But before I do, I thought I would use my personal circumstances of the day as a teachable moment. I have been very consistent in creating my content, but some days you just don't feel like doing it. And today is one of those days, not because of Keith whatsoever, but for the last, I'm in now day five where I'm experiencing this medical condition called gout. So this is a buildup in uric acid in your body. It creates these crystals. Usually it's in your feet, which is where it is for me, my feet, my ankles, and it feels like you're walking on knives. It's incredible pain. Really, it takes your breath away. And so basically for the last 5 days, I really haven't been able to walk because this has happened over a weekend. I haven't really been able to get the medical attention I need. So it takes courage sometimes to keep on going. And that is a point of differentiation for a creator or someone trying to build a personal brand. Sometimes you just don't feel like doing it, and it takes courage to keep on going. Sometimes it takes courage to tell the truth. Sometimes it takes courage because you're facing backlash, resistance, maybe even haters, but you got to keep going. And consistency is more important than genius. That's something I've written about quite a bit. It's something I've talked about quite a bit. And so that is at the top of my mind today. But with no more chit-chat for me, let's get into our topic of today. So here's the outline of what we're going to cover today. Keith and I have not rehearsed this, so I'm not sure we're going to get to all this. I'm not positive that this is the way it's going to go, but here is our concept. So I just got back from South by Southwest, and one of the themes was a backlash against purpose-driven marketing. So we're going to talk about that. I heard an interview with Sam Altman, the founder of OpenAI, where he was talking about the revolution that's going to happen in AI. Is going to be unlike any economic revolution we've had before. It's going to come so fast that job displacement is not going to be just the issue. It's going to be the displacement of purpose. And then one of the discussions we've been having in our Rise community is, you know, is purpose really that big of a deal? If we have our jobs displaced and we have some sort of universal basic income, could that be the best thing that ever happened to us? Could we find new purpose and meaning? So welcome to Keith. Keith works for Jackson Healthcare, always noted as one of the best places to work in the country. And Keith oversees the corporate outreach there. And he is actually a person who studies purpose. So how are you, Keith?
I am well, and I, you know, lots of love and prayers to you, my friend.
Well, thanks. I was able to shuffle somewhat today, so that was a huge, I think it would be ironic to call it a big step forward. It was a big shuffle forward. So Keith, let's start off with this idea, and you and I have talked about purpose in a previous show. So one of the things that at South by Southwest I heard in several sessions is that there's a backlash against purpose, that people are reacting to it poorly because not enough companies are acting like they're consistent, they're aligned with their purpose. They talk about it, they promote it, but they're not walking the talk. Talk a little bit about your views on this.
Absolutely. Well, with all things, it's the small minority, right, that generate that kind of rise above the noise, right? That get attention and get feedback. And what we got to realize that most businesses, most organizations in the U.S., the world, they're small to mid-sized businesses, right? They're not large global mega brands. That are B2C facing. I think a lot of businesses are services type businesses. They're local or maybe regional in scope in some way. And so the first question I always ask, when we hear something like, there's a backlash on purpose, is to, first thing I always say is change the word to something else. Is there a backlash against generosity? Should there be? No. Is there backlash against values? No. Is there
So not.
backlash against strategy? No. What about backlash against marketing? I mean, we've seen those headlines cycle through, but these are just human things that exist, and organizations are just collections of humans. And so every organization will always have a purpose. Because a purpose is just an intention to do something. And so I would start there by saying the real question is, what's really being said and meant, when we hear a phrase like a backlash against purpose? And really what that means is, of the organizations we engage with and are aware of, maybe some of those seem to be putting out They seem to be saying one thing and maybe doing another. Or maybe they're saying one thing and our experience with them leads us to think they're doing something else, right? And maybe that's, capital T truth. Maybe that's just little t situational truth. That's a complex thing it's hard to judge any organization when we don't know the whole picture, and we don't know the whole picture about anything. But I would say the backlash is against this idea of kind of using purpose to kind of create feel goods to sell more
Yeah,
stuff. And
that's
that's really what
exactly
it
it.
is.
The specific context was the where this really was debated the most out of several sessions I attended was one that was specifically around Gen Z, to some extent even Gen Alpha, which is starting to come into the picture, and TikTok. And there was a sort of a marketing communications director there from TikTok talking about how brands are connecting in an effective way or an ineffective way with Gen Z. And basically they said, look, if you start with some purpose, something that you stand for, something that you believe in, just stop because nobody is really believing you. And the session was disturbing in a lot of ways because one of the recommendations was how did they put it? It was to loosen to be effective on TikTok, you have to loosen your standards. I thought, well, that's probably not going to work for most companies. But yeah, one of the themes was just stop it. Gen Z just doesn't believe it. And I'm not sure that's a call for us to abandon common sense, but in that context, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, completely, get all that. I would just it goes back to, to use purpose for marketing purposes. Maybe there's the start. Maybe just be a purposeful organization and gain clarity. And I think the first question is, with ourselves, with our team, within our company, especially if we're leaders within that company, is just, start with this guiding question of, what do we mean by purpose? And And I would kind of say, think of good old Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Is we've got, I always think of them as S's, right? So you've got kind of survival, and then you've got safety, and then you've got social, which is, the love and belonging and stuff like that. Then you've got success, which would be the self-esteem and things like that. And then you've got significance, which is moving away from self towards, self-giving to others in some way. And the critics of Maslow, which I agree with, is that it isn't really a hierarchy. It's these multiple pillars. It's these multiple lanes that we're on all these lanes all the time. We're not kind of progressing up or down in some way. And we've got great books like Viktor Frankl's A Man's Search for Meaning, talking about his experiences in concentration camps to show people will bypass survival and safety to be self-giving in certain situations, So I would say, start with this question, what do we mean by purpose? Or as an individual, what do I mean by purpose? And then look at it through the lens of each of those. What part of our purpose is a survival, right? Specific purpose. We've got to stay in business. We've got to get people paid, right? We've got to keep the lights on in order to serve more people and help more people through what we do. And then you've got, safety, which is, your kind of competitive positioning, which is, what's our purpose when it comes to safety? How can we ensure we're not just serving the short term, but we're serving the long term? And what about social? You kind of go through that success, significance, and kind of define each one of those for the organization, and then kind of look at that as a whole. And I think within what, your responses would be in each of those lanes, that kind of adds up to what your kind of global purpose or your greater maybe purpose might be. And for some organizations, that's just going to be to grow and be successful. For other organizations, that's going to be to, be successful, but impact the world in some measurable way. And I think it's up to each person to define what that means. I think the key is just being clear about what that means and making sure the operations align with what's experienced and heard by customers.
Well, it's a very interesting topic and one that we're probably not gonna resolve today. I think, I don't know if what I heard from the young people in TikTok is really an indictment of purpose or really an indictment of marketing in general. The advice basically what they were just saying is, look, for brands to be effective with TikTok and Gen Z, you've got to do our dances, you've got to do our memes. And I understand that to a certain degree. But I think businesses also have important messages that they need to get out in some fashion. Let's move to the second topic. So this was an interview. I think it was Aaron in our community provided this interview. I'm terrible at remembering who does what in our community. But it was an interview between Bill Gates and Sam Altman. And it was actually pretty easy to follow, despite what you might think. And one of the comments that Altman made was really haunting. And he talked about the different cycles of economic revolutions we've had in America. And it talked about these in time scales that took years. The Industrial Revolution, even the technology internet revolution, it really took years. And businesses were able to adjust. Society was able to adjust. We could sort of see irrelevance coming at us, and we could adjust from a personal point of view or through new training in our careers. And what Altman said is that the impact of AI is going to be so widespread, so profound, and so fast that society is not going to be able to react, and we're going to have an emergency when it comes to job loss. And I mean, I don't really think he's being sensational. And again, this is sort of an impact that was made on me when I was down at South by Southwest, because you read articles and you form an impression, okay, AI is here and AI is coming, it's going to be important. But being immersed in some of the sessions at South by Southwest really kind of made an impact on me that holy crap, this really is coming. It is coming big. It is coming fast. And Altman said that this will be the biggest problem we'll ever have to face. It's not just the loss of jobs, but it's going to be the loss of purpose that's associated with, being employed in a meaningful way. So wanted to know if you've heard any narrative like that in your own world and what you think about it.
No, this is a great question. So, first of all, for anyone listening to this, I'm sure Mark will put the link to that conversation between Gates and Altman in the show notes. But you really want to encourage you to go listen to that episode. Go listen to that conversation. And the part Mark's talking about is about when you say it's about 20 minutes in, Mark, right after they do a little music segment or something like that. But it's no, the answer is no. Until you and I kind of teed that conversation topic up, I had not thought about the idea of,
Oh, really?
yeah, no, what happens at an individual, well, there's two levels here, right? There's the individual level and then there's the group level, which is what happens when maybe this could be a micro trend, right? This could be, what's a micro trend defined as a million plus people, right? This could become a micro trend of what happens to significant portions of people who, one day have a job, have a purpose about, what they're going to wake up and do every day. And the next day it's gone, or at least what their world, was involved in that aspect, it was gone. And what Gates said was such a great guy. I'm still chewing on it, to be honest with you, but he was talking about, like, he gets AI from the, good guys versus bad guys and protections and things like that. He's like, that's not what keeps him up at night. His passion is addressing and solving malaria. And he's like, what happens one day if AI says, hey, slow thinker, I've got malaria. Don't need you around this anymore. And he was like, what, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it's like, what do I, am I supposed to play pickleball? Like, what am I supposed to do at that point? Because a thing I'm passionate about is now gone, right? And it's a great discussion between Gates and Altman that follow that, with the net kind of being, maybe when certain things go away in our lives, other things appear. I remember Altman saying, we're never going to run out of problems to solve, right? And so it made me think of research I saw by Morton Hansen. I think he's a UC Berkeley guy, wrote some business books, where he distinguishes the difference between purpose and passion. Purpose, he says, is what can I do for others? And passion is, what can I do, essentially that I enjoy and love, that passions, I get something from it. Purpose is I give something, I contribute to something, or I contribute for something. And if we continue to kind of hold that definition in our brains, is maybe, my passion, which is also tied to my purpose, goes away. But if my purpose is defined as constantly finding ways to help and serve people, then there's always going to be other ways to help and serve people, right? My job will just be to, grieve. And I say it, but it's heavier than probably my voice to say, but you're going to have to grieve that and get through that. And then kind of pick yourself up and refocus and say, okay, what need, exists now? And quite frankly, if you have a significant number of people going through this together, there's going to be huge mental health needs. There's going to be huge identity needs. There's going to be a whole nother level of significance needs that people are going to need. We're going to have to love and help each other through.
I experienced this in a small way when ChatGPT first came out. ChatGPT came out about 2 weeks after I finished my last book, Belonging to the Brand. So just as an experiment, I asked it to write an essay on one of the topics from that book. And it did it. And it had I asked it to do it in my voice. And I asked it to do it with academic references. It did not hallucinate the academic references. They were actually very helpful and actually introduced me to some other articles that I had not considered before. And so on the surface, my reaction is, oh my gosh, it would have taken me a day to write this essay. And it's a passable piece of work. And it did it in 3 seconds. And as I reflected on this, the look, if it would have taken me a day to write that, part of my purpose is the struggle. I struggle to create a beautiful, bold book when I write a book. Part of my purpose is thinking in my head, oh my gosh, the readers are going to love this. Oh my gosh, they've never thought about it this way. I can't wait for them to see it. And that comes through the struggle, the struggle of like sweating over every word and trying to make it a little bit better. And look, there's ChatGPT can certainly make the writing process easier. I'm going to embrace it where I can, but on some level, it's just like there's a whole piece of me that's disappearing because my purpose is in the work. My purpose is in the struggle to create something bold and beautiful.
That you, my mind is firing. So, part A. There's a guy here in Atlanta. His name's Ben Ortlip. He's a writer and a consultant. He said there's three things people need in their work. He calls them calls. What does he call it? Craft, calls, and community.
I thought you were
He's
gonna put money. I thought you were gonna put
yeah.
money in there somewhere.
No. This is the more higher level needs.
Yeah, got it.
And you're a craftsperson, right?
Yeah,
He
right.
said a craftsperson has a need to be good at something. A community-based person has a need to belong to something, and a cause-based person has a need to believe in something. And if you think about that, like, you kind of use that as a lens, is to say, and again, staying under this idea of personal purpose and group purpose. Is okay. So one aspect of our craft may go away or be replaced, but we still have a responsibility, right, to ensure the craft. I guess the craft will evolve, and I want to come to B to talk about that. But the other part is we're still here to provide each other with a sense of belonging and a sense of belief, right? And so I still don't see those going away or pieces of those being replaced by AI because it's so human-centric. The going back to the craft piece is there's a fascinating story if you're familiar with krautrock in the 1960s and 70s that came out of Germany. And it's like Kraftwerk, Tangerine
Oh,
Dream,
sure.
all
Yeah,
the
yeah. I listen to all
electronic
those. Yeah.
music, right? All electronic music kind of goes back to like those German bands and what they found themselves. And I think this could be such a neat metaphor for us to think about when it comes to what we're talking about with AI. You are born and raised in Germany, and your country were the Nazis, right? You just came out of World War II, and your country is infamous worldwide for what's happened. Now you're a kid and a teenager. And you want to be an artist or you want to be in a band. You can't play German music, right? Because there's now, even though you've got cent, you know, millennia of German tradition now has a tainted feel to it.
Yes, for
So
sure.
you can't draw on your past at all at this point. So what they did was they knew can't draw from our past. We have to invent a new German voice and a new German culture sound, right? We've got to create this. And that's kind of where, you know, Kraftwerk, Tangerine Dream, Cluster, you know, even like David Bowie and Brian Eno drew influences there. All early hip hop came out of sampling Kraftwerk. And I think as you look at what happened as they started to look at, we've got to create something now that's completely different from anything that's come before. You're a human forced into almost a survival state creativity like that. We're going to do some cool stuff, right? We're going to do some unpredictable stuff. And we're going to find breakthroughs in that that kind of can set the foundation for what's to come next. And I think that might be an interesting metaphor. I'm sure there are others out there to where let's look at how other groups have reacted to having totally to start from square one, brand new with nothing to draw on except some tools, right? Some tools and basic techniques, and you've got to create a completely new voice or palette or color.
Yeah, I love that. That's really inspiring and encouraging. And this idea of the loss of purpose that could come with this AI economic revolution. It's something I have been thinking about a lot. In fact, I think it was last year, I was asked to contribute to a Pew research, like a futurist panel about, you know, the positives and negatives of AI. And that was the big thing that I contributed, is that this idea of the loss of purpose. But I love the idea how when something is gone, it forces you to do something else. It makes me also think about like the painter movement, you know?
Yeah.
And okay, you had the impressionists. All right, that's been done. I can't do that. It's done. I now have to go to post-impressionist. And I now have to go to cubism.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to go to, you know, whatever is next. And yeah, so I like that. That's a very interesting way to look at it. And before we go to our last topic, I did want to remind you that the Marketing Companion is sponsored by Brevo. Awesome company. If you can believe it, they've got 500,000 different businesses across 180 countries using Brevo now. They have 75 different marketing integrations you can use in their suite of software to deliver unparalleled customer experiences, reduce costs, and drive sales. It's really awesome and so easy to use. You can get started with Brevo for free. There's going to be a link in the show notes, where you can go to www.brevo.com/marketingcompanion and use the promo code companion to save 50% on your first 3 months of the starter and business plan. So the last topic I wanted to cover reflects a conversation we've been having in Rise, in the marketing community that I help host. And I have my own views about this, but I wanted to, you know, get your perspective of this too. So if we do have this loss of purpose, is that really going to be a bad thing, or are we just going to have all this free time that we can enjoy nature, or, you know, go start a new hobby or something, or just explore? And someone in the community said, well, maybe why can't we just be like an animal? Why can't we, like, an animal doesn't think about its purpose. You know, is there a role for the human race to exist in an AI world where your purpose is less important? So, like I said, I'm going to withhold my own view and tell me what you think.
Interesting. So I was recently reading, I read the writings of Benedictine monastics a lot, and I was reading a piece by a Benedictine nun, and it was on purpose. I mean, the whole month of March has been on the theme of purpose, oddly. I mean, it's funny how that worked. She said there's like three levels of, or three types of purpose, right? There's unconscious purpose, which is what we would say an animal does, right? They're not conscious of their purpose, but they're going to eat, and they've got to mate and get through their days and survive.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's unconscious purpose, which is those
You
fish
could
that.
almost say that was our ancestral purpose,
Yeah.
is mate and don't die was sort of
Yeah.
our
Just go.
ancestral
Yeah,
purpose.
right. You're not even thinking. You're just kind of going. You're kind of the fish that sucks onto the whales or sharks or whatever. You know that. I don't know what those fish are called, but you know they just kind of hang on and go along with whatever they're with. Then she said there's like haphazard purpose, which is just kind of reacting, you know, day-to-day reacting to what's coming at you and what your needs are. And so there's that kind of purpose. And then said there's intentional purpose. And that's getting back to this, you know, how we started defining purpose, you know, talking about Morton Hansen just a little bit ago, which is if you define purpose as how can I contribute to others? If you constantly look to answer that question, you'll never be you'll never have unconscious or haphazard sense of purpose, right? You'll continually be waking up each day to think, okay, how can I contribute to the common good today, or to my team's good today, or to my family's good today, or how can I even contribute to Keith, you know, next year's Keith in a positive way? If you're constantly defining purposes, how I can best serve another, then you'll never run out of purpose. It'll continually kind of reveal itself on a day-to-day basis, and you can actually put some parameters around that. So, you know, that would be kind of a mix. What I just said would be a mix between haphazard and intentional, which is I just want to serve others. Not sure how I'm going to do that. So today I'll just find ways to serve others. Or you could say, like that Bill Gates, hey, I just can't live in a world where malaria exists. And so I'm going to spend every breath I've got and every minute I can carve out to somehow work on making a contribution to eradicating or at least mitigating malaria, right? So you can actually define a bigger purpose that you want to spend a significant part of remainder of your life and time focused on, and make that your purpose, right? And you can do that organizationally as well, and you know, say, hey, we want to be number one or number two in our market, but we actually let's give 10% of our profits, you know, to help foster kids or help, you know, people who are houseless in our local community. You can define it however you want, but you can actually define something specific and then measure yourself against working toward and trying to make an impact through that larger purpose.
So the three different types of purpose. I mean, can you live in one type of purpose as our ancestors did, or in the society where we live today, is that going to feel like a wasted life?
Who restate that? I'm curious. I think I'm hearing what you're saying, but I want to make sure.
Okay, so the first type of purpose you described, which is like hunting and
Yeah,
gathering,
unconscious. Yeah.
is it's like my purpose is to survive. Well, I mean, I live in a first world kind of
Yep.
society.
Right.
I don't need to hunt and gather. So I mean, I'm not sure I would be happy in that world. That really, I mean, I'm a teacher, right? And if I'm not, if I'm not teaching, that's not really living up to my purpose. And I don't know if I would be happy.
Yeah, I got you. So again, I would say you kind of go through those three things we talked about: unconscious or kind of random, haphazard, and intentional. And then those each apply to those needs, right? Which is, you know, we can be working at a higher level, like success or significance level of purpose 1 minute, and then, you know, your car breaks down.
Yeah, true.
Right. Or say, you know, pandemic have something can happen that moves your focus in that moment or in that season over towards more survival and safety, right? And that then kind of becomes the purpose in that moment and in that or that season until you can move back over. But I mean, you know, you're well more traveled than I am, but you know, my exposure to different countries, cultures, people is even in some of the, I've found some of the most generous human beings I've ever met in my life are in some of the, you would think they are in what we would think of as more survival and safety based day to day. And yet for some reason they are living their lives in that and somehow transcending it at the same time, and helping neighbors and taking care of kids and trying to get kids to school or educating them in their home or, you know, whatever that is. And yeah, so I think we can't cop out on this. I think we, you know, the backlash against purpose is that people and organizations have used it for self-serving means, and that's not the definition of purpose, right? That they're putting the word purpose on something self-serving, when in fact, really the only definition of purpose is something that contributes to others in some way, shape, or form. And so I just feel like that's our goal, right? Whether we, and there's no marketing around this, it should just be what we wake up and do because of what we believe in and you know, what we want to accomplish in the world.
Well, it's, I think in any event, we're going to have some big changes coming at us fast. And I like what you said, that we're, you know, we're all in it together. There's going to be a reason for us to lean on each other to get through these changes. So Keith, thanks so much as always.
Love it.
Elevating and inspiring. And thanks to all of you for joining us today. We never, ever take you for granted. Thanks for joining the Marketing Companion. We'll see you next time.